Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
All right. Mesmerizing stuff, isn't that beautiful? You know, unbeknownst to either of us, I had a quote about nothingness, and then I've got a song about nothingness. But that's how it works in spirit, right? The synchronicity of things. So I was talking with somebody last night about they were searching for a church. They'd been in various churches, and they were saying that ones they go to, it's okay, but it's kind of light. They don't go deep, and they want a little more sustenance. They want a little more depth. And I thought, you know, come on down to Unity then, because we're not afraid to go a little deep. When we're talking about everything new, you have to go deep with it because it's a radical idea, this idea of being, as Adrienne said, in the moment, right? That's where we find everything new. Because so often we're hanging out everywhere else but in that new moment of being present to what is. We're in the past, we're in the future, we're distracted. But the radical idea, the deep idea of being present to what is right now is hard to conceptualize, number one, and it's hard to be there because we have become habituated to being somewhere else. And so we have to go deep a little bit, we have to be a little bit radical to approach this place of seemingly nothingness, right? And I love the idea that it's not the end of the journey that matters so much as how we show up along the way, right? So as we put our white stone ideas together, it is not about this end result that we want, but this opening to what is already present right now, right? That's where everything new happens, because it can only happen right now. So, okay, the quote I have about nothing is from Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart's my favorite mystic of all time, especially in the Christian tradition. Meister Eckhart was writing back in the 13th, 14th century, way back when. And his ideas were so radical, he was condemned by the church, which tells you his ideas must have been really good. Because we usually condemn things we can't understand, you know, that step outside of the box, right? He died before he could be burned at the stake, so he was okay. But his ideas were kind of, removed from any library for hundreds of years. They were rediscovered fairly recently. But I love Meister Eckhart. When a Buddhist reads Meister Eckhart, he thinks that Meister Eckhart's a Buddhist. When a Hindu reads him, he thinks he's a Hindu. When a Unity person reads it, it sounds like Unity. Well, I would say that's because he's plumbed the depths to the commonality, to the oneness within everything. Yeah. Now, listen to this, because it's far out if we really want to apply this stuff. He says, ultimate reality is neither this nor that. Now, that's helpful for starters, isn't it? All right. Ultimate reality is neither this nor that. Oh, thank you. It is free of all names. See, it can't be named. You can have a provisional name for something, but it's not about the naming of things. It's free of all names. It's bare of all forms. It is wholly empty and free. And this is the description of us. You know, we are wholly empty and free in reality because we are that which is beyond conditions, right? The human part of us may have conditions, but the spiritual, true part of us is limitless. He goes on to say, it is utterly one and simple. If you love God as God, or as a spirit, or as a person, or as an image, all this must go. See, because it becomes a concept, doesn't it? I have an idea about God. I have an idea about love. You can't have a true relationship if you've got ideas about love. You've got to go ahead and love. And, you know, if you're always thinking, am I loving right? Am I doing it the right way? Kills the relationship because it's not spontaneous anymore. It's not in that moment of just being present to what is. All this must go. You should love it as a non-God, a non-spirit, a non-person, a non-image. Sounds crazy. when you take it from an intellectual perspective. But when you're talking spiritually, yeah, I'm giving up all ideas I have around something so that I could be present to the real thing, right? Powerful stuff. Instead, approach it in the pure and mixed bright one that it is, separated from all duality, and in that one, sink eternally down out of something into nothing. So we're invited to be nothing. And that's not a very popular thing if you're coming at it from one level of understanding. But when you're coming at it from a spiritual perspective, you realize that when you are nothing, you are actually everything, right? Because if you're particular, if you insist on being something, then you are limited to that something. That's the role, that you're locked into that role. But if you say, no, I'm nothing and everything, then it gives you freedom to be all that God creates us to be. There are no boxes or boundaries in God, right? God doesn't give you a certain amount of stuff. God says, here it is, effortlessly, profligately, it's given, right? Everything, and yet nothing to hold on to. Because if you try and hold on to it, it doesn't work. Have you noticed this? When you try and hold on to a wonderful new breakthrough, oh, I got it in my pocket now, this great breakthrough. What happens to the breakthrough? You broke it. You broke it. What happened to the manna that the Israelites tried to put in Tupperware to keep for tomorrow? When they opened it up in the morning, it was nasty. Right? The manna was for the day only. This stuff has to be in the now, which is only right now and right now and right now, moment to moment. So if you're going to be nothing, don't make a big deal about it. You know what I'm saying? Look at me. I'm nothing, you know. Look at you. You think you're something. I'm nothing. You've conceptualized it. You're no longer nothing. You are a piece of nonsense. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said this, and I love it, about new. He said, new is our spiritual identity. Wow. That's powerful. New is our spiritual identity. I think that's why we call ourselves New Thought, right? In Unity and religious science and other New Thought traditions that have been going now for a few hundred years, but really that ancient wisdom, it's new because that's the truth. New is our spiritual identity. We are born again. That's the true meaning of born again. And it doesn't happen one time. Every day, every moment, right? It's that opportunity to be new. New is our spiritual identity. And listen to this, and the fullness of power and glory that follows. So when we can be present to what is, when we can open to God, to just being present to whatever is happening in any given moment, it comes with a fullness of power and glory. We are sustained. We are given everything we need. And I found this to be true in my own life. When I can relax and let go and allow, I notice that God is present in that allowing, that God fills it with energy and power. And there's various ways to be present. Music, I think, takes us into that presence. Trees do it for me, you know, and nature does it for me, to be totally present to that tree and not to start conceptualizing about it, oh, how pretty it is or how magnificent. Simply look at it, right? Jigsaw puzzles can do it. My wife got a jigsaw puzzle for Christmas, and it's been a long time since she had one, but she loves jigsaw puzzles. And as she was doing it last night, and I like to sit next to her because I go into an alpha state. It's like I can feel the energy that she has, and I start vibrating with it as well. But she says, do you ever find things you can do without thinking? And you mean like a jigsaw puzzle? And I said, yeah, I do have those things. But what happens, I think, for you when you're doing the jigsaw puzzle is it takes up the busy part of your brain and you drop into the stillness that is connecting with spirit, right? And that's very beautiful. It's like mindless things can occupy our busy monkey mind so that then we can move into that empty, spacious place that is incredibly beautiful, where fullness comes, fullness of power and glory come. So, This is why we're having the white stone, by the way. This will be a preamble to that. The white stone represents, in physical form, the white light of emptiness and spaciousness that is the truth of our being, right? So when we're putting the name on the white stone, we are putting a focus to the infinite resource that is the nature of God for us. So we're focalizing into that stone. A stone also in the Bible represents victory and purity and joy. So that stone represents all those qualities for us. And it comes originally from Revelation. And I'm going to read Revelation. Don't be too scared, because there are scary bits in this one. But it's worth it, okay? Don't be frightened off. The actual mention of the white stone is Revelation 2:17, but I'm going to read from Revelation 13 through 17. What? Don't take it literally, because we'd be in trouble if we did. Because guess what? Satan appears. Oh, my God. But I want you to listen to this, and then we'll unpack it in relation to the unitive way of thinking, okay? And this is the angel of the church at Pergamum. Pergamum was the center of Zeus worship. It was a big Roman center of power and authority. So it was the center of the power of the state, the power of the way things are in the outer. So let's see, it could be Washington, D.C. Let's put it like that. So the angel of the church at Washington, D.C. says these things. These are the words of the one. These are the words of that moment where we're connected, right? The words of the one who has a sharp two-edged sword. What does the sharp two-edged sword have the power to do? When you're in the oneness, when you're in that freedom of everything new, what does the sharp two-edged sword do? What does it do? Gives you the opportunity to what? To fall off. Fall off the sword? Oh, you get a choice. Okay. See, I see it as the sword that cuts through all the BS. Right? That cuts through. Has the power to cut through to the reality. To the reality of who we are. Right? That knows. And there's that part of us inside ourselves. We can fool ourselves as much as we want. But we know. We know when we're doing it. Unless we're totally blind and oblivious. Right? And God help me. Protect me from my blind spots. Yeah? That should be an affirmation we all have all year. Help me. Protect me from my blind spots. Because you know what? Why are they blind? Because you can't see them. So you don't think they're there. Oh, my God. But other people can see them quite well. Do you notice that? So the two-edged sword cuts through all the BS. But it also gives us the opportunity. Am I going to stay stuck or am I going to free myself? What do you want today? I want to be free. You want peace, okay. That might be a word for your stone then. Then he says, I know where you live. This is the Spirit speaking to us. I know where you live. It's where Satan's enthroned. Oh, great. Thank you. Here we go. It's where ego is enthroned. That's all. Not Satan, okay. Let's not go there with Satan. Yet you are holding fast to my cause and did not deny your faith in me, even at the time when Antipas, my faithful witness, was put to death in your city where Satan has his home. In other words, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We deal with all this nonsense and distractions and fears and all that, but we're trying to remember the truth of our being, aren't we? And how do we know we are? Because we showed up here at Unity. Yeah? That's part of it, isn't it? We are desirous of a higher way, of a greater opening, of a new understanding. Yes? Otherwise, or did we just wander in off the street because it was a warm place on a cold day? I came to see Kutsuk. I don't care about this stuff. However we got here, we're here to listen to this, okay? But I have a few matters to bring against you. As Spirit always does, you know, is any of us perfect right now? We got those blind spots. We got some stuff going on, right? So Spirit says, I got a few things I'd like to chat about. Can we? You have in Pergamum some that hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to put temptation in the way of the Israelites. He encouraged them to eat food sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Now, like we said, we're not taking this literally. Fornication is good. But when you're fornicating in the sense forgetting your sacred space and making love to the world of greed, then you got a problem, right? When you're eating food sacrificed to idols, when you're forgetting the sacred transaction of sustenance and buying into the greed and the appetite of it, then we're forgetful of our higher purpose. That's what it's saying, I believe. I've got a few things against you. I want you to be a little purer here. I want you to be more honest. In the same way, you also have some who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Nobody in any Bible study knows who the Nicolaitans are. You read any study, nobody can tell you. Unknown sect. Nobody knows anything about them. So make it up. Make up something. Oh, yeah, those darn Nicolaitans again. You know, when something goes wrong this week, just say, it's those Nicolaitans again. They were getting in my way. Maybe it's linked to nicotine. I don't know. So repent. If you do not, I will come to you quickly and make war on them with the sword that comes out of my mouth. What is the sword that comes out of our mouth, folks? It's a word. It's a word of truth. I would suggest that every moment of every day, God is speaking to us, not necessarily with words that we can hear, but just everywhere. God's message is going out if we're paying attention. Everything can be a message. Everything can be a lesson. Yeah, that is the word that's being put out. What was God's first word? Let there be light. His second word was yes. Right? So those are the words of God. Everything speaks that everywhere you go. For me, like I say, being a dirt worshiping tree hugger, it's in nature. But for some of us, it's in other places, right? The word is being spoken. Yeah? Are we paying attention? Sometimes the word could be spoken in a disease, can't it? In a terrifying experience that gets our attention so that we can wake up to the truth of our being. But whichever way it comes, it's good to pay attention. You have ears to hear, so hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to your body, mind. Pay attention. And here's what the church says. I offer you three things. I'm going to give us three things. God always gives us three things here. The first one is to anyone who is victorious, to anyone who remembers the truth of their own being, who is willing to be nothing so that they could be everything, I will give some of the hidden manna. That's the first thing you're given. Now, manna was given to the Israelites. Why? Do you remember the story? They were wandering around in the wilderness. They didn't have any food. God sent manna down out of heaven, right, to sustain them. We are always sustained when we remember our spiritual purpose. Do you believe this? This church was $37,000 behind 2 weeks before Christmas. We had a couple of services, but we had a lot of money to make to pay for all the bills, the payroll, the administration, the upkeep of this church, okay? We did not receive the full amount, but we had enough to keep us going. When I checked last week where we were after the offerings from the first of the year, we were just $5,000 or $6,000 behind, and we can hopefully make that up this Sunday. The point is, I don't know how exactly that happened, but I do know we were sustained. It happened because of our free will offerings, because that's the way the whole church is sustained on an ongoing basis. We don't get money from anywhere else. We get it from us. But the point is, it's not about the money. It's about staying faith-filled, staying present to the fact that God is our resource. God will sustain us. That works money-wise, it works relationship-wise, it works peace of mind, it works on all levels, right? But you have to trust, because if you say, it's not going to work, it probably won't. So my job is to stay faith-filled, no matter what, right? And know that this idea, which is Unity Fort Worth, is too good an idea to go down the tubes. Yeah? We're going to sustain this. This is going to be a thriving community. We're going to do everything we need to do to make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
And in your life, you're going to do everything that you need to do to make it happen for you in 2017. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. We have the power. We are sustained. That's the first thing. You are sustained. So really, this week, tell yourself that. You know, no matter what, I'm sustained by God. God wants to give me every good thing. God pours out everything. All I have to do is make myself available. Less partial, less limited, more open. Second thing, I will also give him a white stone. Well, guess what? You've all got one. Anybody didn't get one yet? We'll get an usher to bring you one. A couple of people didn't get one. Can we have an usher come down and bring some white stones? And pencils, yeah. Because the white stone, like I said, is an outer representation of the white light of spirit that you are. And you're going to inscribe on that a word. So you'll need your stone. Some people already got their word. I know you've been working on it all week. Some people are going to pick your word as we go into meditation in a moment. Make sure everybody gets their stone here. Got some people up front. Anyone else? Okay, good. David, Patty need their stones up here. So I'll give them a white stone. Lovingly collected by Paul and Wendy from Wiz Coustone on 8/20 earlier this week in the cold. But it was fun. So now we got the stones. Amazing how they arrived. But we had, no, it was fun. It was a wonderful transaction, and we loved to do it, collect those stones like a holy thing, clambering around on those stones there, finding the right ones, because not every one you can write on, so they have to be right. So that's the second thing you've got. You've got this stone. And then the third thing only you can do. Because there's always part in God's plan where you come into action, right? You may be given the sustenance. You may be given the white stone of God's light and love. But then you have to do something with that. And that's why the word is so powerful. And this is a sacred occasion right now. Because what you're going to do is write on the stone that word that will remind you and inspire you of your divine nature, right? Of who you are. So it's a word that encapsulates for you this year that particular quality that you're going to use that will remind you of who you are in truth. So as we go into meditation now, let that word come to you. And it'll be a sort of a lodestone. It'll be a central focus around which you can maintain some new energy through the year to remind you that everything is new. And I invite you to keep it somewhere. I keep mine on my desk. You can put it on an altar. Put it somewhere, maybe carry it in your pocket, but have it somewhere that can remind you. Because it's no good if you just hide it away. It's got to be there so you can be in remembrance of it. I will give you a new name known only by him who receives it. Nobody can write it for you. It's your word. It may be a common and garden word, but when you write it, and when you focus upon it, it becomes power-filled, right? So let's move into meditation. So as we meditate, we settle into that openness, that spaciousness, which is allowing ourselves to be empty, open, apparently nothing, so that the everything that God is can fill our being. Place beyond conceptualizing, planning, fixing, or changing. This is a place and an awareness of allowing. God is the new, endlessly arising every moment. And in that spaciousness, in that openness, God has provided three things for us. First one is sustenance. I am sustained. I am in a safe and friendly universe. Greater is the power of spirit within and around me than any power in the world. I am sustained not by outer resources, but by an inner knowing of God's provision. And outer resources appear in the right and perfect way to align with that knowledge. And I have always with me that white tablet, that white stone, that white presence of spirit. Pure, clear, joyful, innocent. My true identity. And on that stone, I choose to place my word of power for this year. And so as we move into the silence, we allow that word to speak to us. When it has, we inscribe it on our stone. We may already have conceived of that idea, that word, and it's already there on our stone. If that's the case, simply meditate upon that word. If the word is yet to come, allow it to do so in the silence. This is what I choose for my life in 2017. So take this moment now to remember this moment in this space, this sacred transaction that has taken place here. We remember it's a cold day, blue sky, a warm sanctuary filled with lots of people who support us. We support them. Feel particular sensation of being in your seat, breathing the air, because when we can remember this, it's easier to go back to that moment that fresh moment, remind ourselves once again, yes, this is my word. I made that commitment at that place, at that time. And I carry that forward now into this place, this time. My word of power, it has as much value as I choose to give it. And as the year unfolds, I let that be my focus, my remembrance, my inspiration. Go forth capable, energized, empowered. And once again, greater is the power of spirit within and around me than any apparent power in the world. Thank you, God, for your sustenance, your presence, your call to commitment and focus. We know that you are with us now and always, and we are grateful.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.